There are times, I don't know about you, when I don't want to pray, because you know, you pray when you feel like it, and you pray when you don't feel like it, and you pray when you don't feel like it until you do feel like it. And so there are times I go into his presence and say, I don't want to be here.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with pastor and author James Ford Jr., senior pastor at Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, glad you joined us. We're in a series of messages entitled The ABCs of Prayer. And if you have missed any of the messages in the series, you can always come to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org and listen to messages and broadcasts you may have missed. Again, our website address is treasuredtruthradio.org. But Pastor, you just hit on something that I think a lot of Christians can identify with, and that's that feeling like I ought to pray, but I don't want to pray. I don't want to go in the Lord's presence. Maybe sometimes it's we've got unconfessed sin in our lives. Other times we're tired. Other times you're just distracted, and that's the last thing I want to do is spend some time in prayer right now. So if we're feeling that way, would you say that's a normal feeling for the Christian?
That's a normal feeling for most of us. Mm-hmm. And there are times when we delight to be in his presence, and there are times when it's drudgery.
Yeah.
But making it a regular habit of going into his presence is something that ought to happen. Because when you think about it, there are times when I don't want to go to work, but I go. Because there is a dividend accrued for going to work, even when I don't feel like it.
Sure.
I think it's the same way with prayer.
All right. So for the person who says, boy, I don't feel like going to the Lord in prayer, but I am going to go. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but there have been times in my life like that where you wrestle in prayer for a while, and it doesn't feel any better. It doesn't feel any different. Any suggestions for the person who says, boy, I'm trying to be obedient. I'm trying to go to God in prayer, even telling them that I don't necessarily want to be here right now, but my heart's not changing.
And I would say that the number one thing you have to do is be honest about it. Yeah, there are times, Steve, when we don't want to be in the presence of the Lord. And I think what we need to do is just be honest about it, because he already knows it.
Right.
I mean, if he's omniscient, which means he knows everything, then he already knows it. And what we have to do is discipline ourselves so that we will do it even when we don't want to do it, and do it until we feel like doing it. Now, you just asked a real relevant question. What if you do it and you still don't feel like doing it?
Yeah.
Then get up off your knees and go about your business. But you have to understand that motivation for prayer is at least fourfold. We're motivated to pray out of discipline. I pray because I have to. Duty. I pray because I ought to. Delight. I pray because I want to. Devotion. I pray because I love to. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter where we are. We're just honest and we go to God, and I enjoy being your presence today. You know, that's fine. But you know what? I'm doing this out of discipline, Lord. I'm doing it because I have to. I need to come to you in prayer.
Yeah.
I don't have much to say. I'm going to be here and you need to speak to me. So you're being honest. And what is happening? God is developing you no matter what your motivation is.
Well, our message today, Pastor, is entitled Prayer as a Weapon of Warfare. And I think most of us may think of prayer as something that we do, as you say, out of devotion or out of duty, something that we do because maybe we want to make requests to the Lord. But warfare, how is prayer a weapon of warfare?
Well, because if you think about our arsenal as Christians, prayer makes us universal. I can pray for the salvation. As a matter of fact, I did this morning. I subscribed to Voice of the Martyrs. This morning, I prayed for the country of Pakistan. Mm. And I prayed for specific believers who are undergoing persecution in Pakistan. I've never seen them. I don't know them yet. I'm able to call their name before God as I go to the throne of grace, and God is going to use my prayer to assist my brothers and sisters who don't have it as good as we have it here in America.
Yeah. Well, as I just mentioned, our message is entitled Prayer as a Weapon of Warfare. We're in Ephesians chapter 6 and Luke chapter 9. So have your Bible handy and be ready to join us in both passages there. Here's Pastor Ford with Prayer as a Weapon of Warfare.
Well, if you look at what happened in Luke chapter 9, in Luke chapter 9, you have an instance where the disciples have a boy with an unclean spirit, and they can't cast him out. Luke chapter 9, verse 37. They can't cast him out. So verse 38, the man cries out, look upon my son, for he's my only child. Verse 39, and lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departing from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. So here we have some disciples who are powerless in the face of some powerful demons. Now the problem I see in the text is really at the beginning of the chapter. So here, there's a demon-possessed boy, and the demon is more powerful than the disciples. But if you'll read Luke chapter 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. So there's something wrong with this picture, isn't it? Because they have all the power they need to cast out any demons. Because all means all, and that's all means. So they should have had. So the question on the floor is, wait a minute, if he has given us all power and we've been given the power over all demons, then how is it that many of us right now are getting our tails kicked by demonic forces? Now don't shout me down. I know it's Bible study. But I'm going to say amen. And so what's going on? Well, Jesus explains it because the disciples want to know. Jesus cast the demon out. And the disciples said, we don't understand it. Why could we not cast this one out? Look at Mark, Gospel of Mark. Turn to Mark. Mark 9:29. Listen to what Jesus says. Well, 20, let me break in at 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, checked out the disciples. They didn't ask him so he could bust them out in front of everybody. They waited till they got him in private. I would have done the same thing, wouldn't you? I wouldn't have asked him out there. But I know you gave me all power, and now I don't have the power to do it. So what does Jesus say? And when his disciples come in the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. That Jesus is saying, listen, we have power and authority over demons. And we know some demons have more power and authority than other demons. Is that right? Because the Bible tells us they have a hierarchical structure. And we talked about it once before. Remember the legion. He said, we are legion. He said, we are legion. Now, what's a legion? 6,000. So one demon spoke for the other 5,999. And I always have to say it. I don't care if you're tired of hearing it. They understand what it means to submit to authority better than most church folk. If that had been 6,000 church folk, we in here, I'm in here, hey, I'm Bo's in here, Green's in here, me too, don't leave my name out. I'm over this committee. My name wasn't called. So he says, this kind cometh forth by nothing but fasting and prayer. So then what we're talking about, overcoming, when we have this kind of power, the weapons that we're not using, these two weapons, he says we're able to fight demon possession, we're able to fight demon oppression, we're able to fight demon obsession.
You're listening to a message entitled Prayer as a Weapon of Warfare, just the beginning of this teaching here from Pastor Ford on Treasured Truth, and we'll continue in just one moment. But if you want to learn more about past and upcoming broadcasts, you can come to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. You can also download each program or sign up to begin podcasting the program. And if you happen to use iTunes for your podcasting, would you go ahead and rate the podcast? By doing that, you'll help us be found by even more people. Well, let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Ford.
So then remember, somebody help me out. Prayer is first and foremost communion with God. You ought to know this by now. Come on. It's first what? Communion with God, our Father. So the intimacy of prayer is what prayer is really all about. It's entering into that fellowship with the Father based on our relationship, our Father relationship. But the fellowship is the communion with Him, just being in His presence. It is, if you're really in love with God, you'll want to be with Him. I don't care what anybody says, folks get on me about this, but you're not going to stay home on a Wednesday night if you don't have to stay home because you want to have fellowship with God. That's what you want to have. You know, one of my studies, I gotta digress. I'm sorry. It just, you know, sometimes, you know, in your own personal devotional time, you get more stuff you want to preach than when you prepare messages. And so I was looking at Hebrews 10:25. That was my study a few days ago. And it was not forsaking. And so what I do in study, I don't know about you, since God has given me the gift of pastor teaching, then it seems like, you know, how many teachers we got in here? How many teachers? Lift up your hand. Teachers. Isn't it to get fed, you need to go a little deeper sometime. Right. When you're feeding people all the time, right, you know, what people call good food, you call a snack. And so, you know, I had to do some studying. And so, you know, I'm spending 2-3 hours on one word. And so I'm looking at El Beverly, the word forsake, and it blew my mind. Ek, kata, man. I said, oh, no. Lepo. Say, it's all Greek to me. Preposition, verb, double preposition and a verb. So check this out. When you hear not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, what do you think of? I think you need to be in church. But guess what? He's not just, you know, it's like this. Anybody remember our two friends, Lombano and Decamai? Anybody remember those two? When we studied those? No, we don't remember them, Pastor. It's translated receive. Both of them are received. But remember, this one talks about just the object. So, I give my Bible to Russ. He receives it. That just means he took it from me. But if I say he Lombano, he just took the Bible. If I say he decamied the Bible, that tells me not only that he received it, it tells me how he received it. So when it says they received his word, it literally means to receive with joy. So if I give it to him and he decamai, he got to put a smile on his face. See there, he got a smile. You can't see it, but as he receives it. Now, check this out. I always thought, and you know, I mean, it's like you teach this stuff and you say, oh man, look at here. So I always thought, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. He was just talking about your absence. No. He's telling you why people are absent. Check this out. This word means out. This word means down. And this word means behind. So guess what he's saying? He's saying some of you need to come to church anyway. You've been left out, kicked out, put out, but you need to come anyway. Some of you have been let down, put down, shut down, but you need to come anyway. Some of you have been left behind, kicked in the behind. So anyway, what he does is he's telling us the reasons why we ought to come to church when we don't feel like coming. So he's really speaking to people who've been messed over in church. He's saying when you get messed over in church, the last thing you want to do is drop out. I shouted. I said, whoa. Look at here. I've been a Christian 35. Took me 35 years to learn that. Lord have mercy, Jesus. And it just shouted me. So you see what's happening here. So anyway, my point is, you know, that prayer is fellowship with God, and that we ought to love to be in his presence. So there are times, I don't know about you, when I don't want to pray, because, you know, you pray when you feel like it, and you pray when you don't feel like it, and you pray when you don't feel like it until you do feel like it. And so there are times I go into his presence and say, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. But I'm coming because I do love you. So tune my heart to sing thy grace. And almost without fail, before I know it, something comes into my mind. Like, you could be in your grave. You could be in the crazy house because you are crazy. You could be in the hospital. You could be anywhere other than, and then all of a sudden I get glad to be there. Thank you, Lord. You woke me up this morning. You didn't have to do it.
Right.
You know, the old preacher, you know. Thank God that my bed wasn't my cooling board and my sheet wasn't my winding sheet and the two sides of my bed wasn't my grave or whatever it is. You know how they say it. I don't know. But all that, you know, thank you. You know, and I get happy. And then the first thing I do is, here's what I like to do. I'm just sharing my devotions. Then I start singing to him. You know, I start singing. You know, and I say to myself, and I say, you know, it's amazing because sometimes I'll sing and I'll just break out laughing. And then I'll say, God, only you could appreciate this. Especially, you know, you start, I love you, Lord.
Wow.
So then, it's what? Prayer is communion. So then, Father, we address, remember, 15 times in 6 books in the Old Testament, but 250 times in 25 books of the Old Testament. I mean, New Testament. So there's only one book where he's not addressed as Father. Anybody know what it is? That's right, 3 John. So then prayer is what? Communion. Then secondly, communication. That's right, communication. And so it is, we speak to him, he speaks to us. And some of the problem is some of us don't give him the opportunity to speak to us at all.
Wow.
It's a monologue, not a dialogue. I like what one sister said. It was a Bible study a couple years ago. She raised her hand. She said, I said, yeah. She said, Pastor, you always hear these people talking about the Lord told me to tell, the Lord told me to tell. Don't he ever tell anybody to shut up? I said, he sure does, but they don't listen. You know, Psalm 46:1, be still and take a chill pill, right? Be still and know that I am God. So then prayer is communication, prayer is conversation. What's the third one? Prayer is commitment to God. So then we are saying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'm committed to you. Getting on my knees says that I have his agenda and not my agenda. So fourthly, then, prayer is what? Cooperation with God. What a privilege you and I have of being able to be included in the divine plan. Do you realize you're an integral part of the divine plan? Now, when you hear this again, don't act like you didn't hear it, you know, because y'all hear stuff that they don't hear on Sunday. So when I say it on Sunday, y'all saying, he just told us that on Wednesday. But I told you, I was supposed to say it on Sunday, but I can't keep it. So I was in devotion this morning, and so I'm doing my little study, and so I'm in James 1:22, where it says, be ye doers of the word. I said, oh my goodness. Crisis a lot. Jesus! Because I'm studying the word doers. And I said, Oh Lord Jesus. Let me erase this thing. Let me show you what this word is. It is amazing. I tell you, it is amazing. It is the word poietes, from which we get the word poet. Now, you may recognize it because Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, is derived from this word, but workmanship, poiementes, is the word from which we get the word poem. So poem and poet. So then I'm studying this word, and be you doers. So I'm thinking, just do it. Nike, just do it. Why does he use a word poet and translate it do? Because he's not only just telling us to obey it, he is saying this word literally means to creatively apply the word of God.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr. as he talks about prayer as a weapon of warfare. We're in a series called The ABCs of Prayer, and really an important study as prayer is so fundamental in following Jesus. You can request this complete series on our website when you come to treasuretruthradio.org. Well, Moody Publishers has a number of books to help you dig deeper into this topic, including Spiritual Warfare Prayers and Power Through Prayer, just to name a couple. And today, when you become a monthly partner by AutoGift and support Moody Radio with a monthly gift of $30 or more, you'll receive a 50% discount on these books, as well as other books, DVDs, and message series from Moody Publishers. The discount applies for as long as you remain a monthly partner, and there's no limit on how often you can use it. So whether it's prayer, Bible study, or another aspect of the Christian life that you'd like to focus on, Moody Publishers has resources that can help. Contact us today and become a monthly partner and receive your 50% discount. Our number is 888-644-7660. That's 888-644-7660, or go online to treasuretruthradio.org. These resources are designed to help you, as Pastor Ford likes to put it, go to the book. And with a 50% discount, these resources are accessible and affordable. And your discount applies as long as you remain a monthly partner. Call now. 888-644-7660 or online at treasuretruthradio.org. I'm Steve Hiller. Our producers are Amy Rios, Mark Bretta, and Nathan McMillan. Join us again next time for more Bible teaching from Pastor Ford here on Treasure Truth, a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.